WND, RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for some salubrious and scrumptiousness all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know you are, and I know that you know. That means, once again, it's a time for a Code Delicious. Hey, today I'd like to start with just a little bit of history. For those that know me, they know that I'm a bit of a history buff, and I am a big believer that the historical experience should also be a personal one. You know, folks, we didn't just arrive here where we are today spontaneously out of the ether. Absolutely not. We came from somewhere. We have a history. We have roots. And you know, those lessons can help us shape a perspective that can determine whether our future leads into the positive or bogs us down in the negative. And this history permeates our everyday existence, you know, in the big and in the little things that affect us, and in turn, how we affect others. In no small way, it pervades the backdrop of our everyday existence, every moment. And my friends, food and health are no exceptions in this arena. Just think back to all the food-related events and encounters that you've had throughout the course of your life and how they have shaped your preferences, your experiences, and the people you know, and probably to a large extent, the people you don't. These deliberations continue to chart the passage of where you go, what you do, and obviously, at the end of the day, what you choose to consume. You know, this in turn, as we continue to learn, as chefs, as medical professionals, as scientists, as we continue to learn, it has a tremendous impact upon our health and our state of well-being, or not. We truly are what we eat. But you know, we are also so much more than that. I think genetics are a great example of the personal history. Everybody today, you know, we hear so much about we're genetically predetermined for this and genetically predetermined for that, and it's in the genes, and we've got to map the genome and personalized medicine based on genetics. And you know, just the other day, I had a wonderful chat with the lovely wife of a patient, and he had come in with a heart attack. Now, he was well into his 80s. He had had some chest pain at home, came quickly to the emergency room, as we all should if we're unfortunate enough to experience that. They made an excellent diagnosis quickly of an acute myocardial infarction or a heart attack. We got the patient quickly to the catheterization laboratory, put a stent in, got the artery open, and he did great. He recovered completely in very short order. But what was really interesting was to speak with his wife the next morning. Now, she's also in her 80s, in excellent, excellent health. And she had spent her lifetime on the farm that she had been raised on. And in that lifetime, she had spent it eating all the things that for over the last half century, all the experts have told her would kill her. And she confided to me during our conversation that, you know, she did take advice, but it didn't seem to matter what she did. According to her, you know, her cholesterol remained high according to all the various measures, despite different interventions. So what she decided to do is she decided that she would stick with the fresh, wholesome foods that were part of her personal history. These were the foods that made her feel good, made her body feel good, but they also brought her pleasure because they tasted great. And because, as she explained it to me, she felt that at the end of the day, it all came down to genetics anyway. And that was the primary determinant. And really, what are genetics but a very personal history of our direct ancestry, revealed in the individual details that make each and every one of us so unique. And alongside that marker of individuality, there's also the emerging concept of the gut microbiome. And this is the physiologic history of our species, of the symbiotic organisms that's co-evolved with us over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, to co-metabolize what we ingest and to interact with us for good or for ill, depending on our dietary choices. For you see, not only are we what we choose to consume, but our gut microbiome is also a reflection of our choice of comestibles. Now, for some of us, that is to see through a glass rather darkly, but then to face the gut, as it were. And what of societal evolution? What is the history and thus the legacy of what we have done to ourselves, for good or for ill, and in what or in whose name? The recent nutritional guidelines for the United States were significantly revamped amid no small amount of consternation that some of the endpoints had become the objects of political gamesmanship. What's really fascinating to me, as a bit of a student of history, is that when we examine their development and the birthing of such regulations and guidelines, we see that this is absolutely nothing new. That once again, there's nothing new under the sun. And in point of fact, some of the significant alterations from the previous recommendations, it begins to correct our course that, because of politics, has left us adrift for over half a century, left us obese and wallowing in the doldrums of the modern Western diet. For when we apply the glass closely and examine the origin of these guidelines and the recommendations from the 70s, we see the injection of politics. We see it in the influence of money in securing the recommendations for proprietary products of vegetable oils and hydrogenation. We see it in the dispersion cast on those who at the time contended that the evidence of ill effect pointed to culprits like refined carbohydrates and sugar, not fats and saturated fats. We see it in the very quote of the Senate committee chairman, at that time Senator George McGovern, who, when scientists and health professionals pleaded for more time, responded that, and I quote, "Senators don't have the luxury that the research scientist does of waiting till every last shred of evidence is in. Period, end quote. Wow, wow, wow. What a haphazard philosophy. What an irresponsible position. What a dereliction of duty to take such a position when taking that position and what it entails directly affects the health and well-being of hundreds of millions of people. Men, women, children, mother, father, sister, brothers, parents, throughout every phase of their life. This is when our conclusions and the data from which it is drawn must be above reproach. So I implore each and every one of you, as I always do, that when we move forward, as always, let us chart our course by where the science takes us. Let it be charted by where our taste buds lead us and to where common sense is allowed to hold sway. You are listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.